I'm Steve Goldstein with more on Arnold V. Sarn and mental health care in Arizona. I'm joined by Michael Schaefer, a professor in the School of Social Work and the ASU College of Public Programs in downtown Phoenix. Professor Schaefer is also the director of the ASU Center for Applied Behavioral Health Policy. Michael, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Give us some of the legacy of Arnold V. Sarn as you see it and its impact in Arizona.
In 1988, when this lawsuit was filed, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill and a national ranking had ranked Arizona as 53rd in the country in per capita expenditures for community mental health services, 53rd in a country with only 50 states. It was a hard place to be. We have today one of, as Ann pointed out, one of the more robust, well-organized, and well-developed service delivery systems for persons with serious mental illness.
Now, how much of that is because of this suit always hanging over people, the idea that you had to settle this at some point?
Well, I think one of the great stories to be told from a public policy perspective is in Arizona, as in other states, where class action litigation has been used as an instrument to shape public policy, the legacy of the Arnold lawsuit and the strategic utilization of the litigation as a influence to shape public policy within our state policymakers, be them in the legislative branch or in the executive branch. And we see that consistent with other class action litigation, White versus Stickney being one of the lawsuits, Pennhurst, et cetera, a number of landmark legislations that shaped access to care for people with different kinds of disabilities, and here in Arizona, most notably around people with serious mental illness.
You've had a couple of decades in leadership and higher education in this particular subject matter.
Sure.
So when you knew the settlement was coming, when you heard about the settlement, I asked Ann the same question. What was your reaction, inside and outside?
Well, I think the prevailing perspective was that the initiation for what caused this lawsuit had been met, that the purpose of Arnold versus Sarn of ensuring access to a community-based, well-developed system of care for this segment of our population had been achieved. But I think everybody kind of looked at it and said, how do we, similarly to how our country unwound its involvement in Vietnam, how do we call a cease in honor here, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that there was some difficulty in how do we get to a point that both the plaintiffs and the defendants could sit down and say, we've achieved what needs to be achieved and we've met the spirit of the litigation.
Has mental health care not received enough emphasis? And if so, why do you think that is?
Well, if you look in the press over the last 24 months and some of the unfortunate events, and it's ironic, perhaps symbolic, that today is the day that was chosen to reach the settlement, to announce a settlement, the third anniversary of the Gifford shooting. And as we look at the likes of individuals like Jared Loughner and the presentation that many of these shootings have created, it reemphasizes for us that the attendance to mental health, early intervention and early treatment for mental health is an absolutely critical issue that we'll need to continue to stay focused on. Has mental health not gotten the attention it should? I think for many, many years we denied that there was a medical connection to this condition, and likewise substance abuse. And so we've created in our state and throughout the country entirely separate systems of care and treatment for people with substance abuse and mental health problems that are disassociated from their primary care physician and routine health care. A lot of the stigma that's associated with it, we used to think that mental illness was a spiritual defect, same way with substance abuse. We now know that these are medically based conditions and can be medically treated, and what's one of the promises we see with healthcare reform is the integration of mental health into primary routine care.
What do you think can be done better with behavioral health care in Arizona, and how big an impact can this settlement have in moving us toward that direction?
Well, I think the settlement is huge, and the state's commitment to fund what we call the psychosocial services, the critical social support services of housing and employment supports that are not medically necessary services, but are the skill deficit areas and the need areas that people who are afflicted by this disease have. That's been the concern with healthcare reform, is how will those services be funded? The state's commitment to fund those services through state funding is a huge commitment, and I think compliments go to both the plaintiffs and the defendants on this for being able to negotiate to this. And once again, I think the governor's leadership on this issue has been huge. What the state can do more of is to really promote how we push for much earlier universal detection and early intervention for early onset of mental illness. The phenomenon that we have lots of people with serious mental illness, or that we have this segment of individuals with serious mental illness who are Medicaid eligible, has been in part secondary to the fact that private insurance plans refuse to treat these individuals, refuse to treat early onset of mental illness. So there's some, again, great hope that earlier intervention, earlier treatment will bend the disease trajectory, if you will, of serious mental illness.
Michael, you mentioned Medicaid. So how much of a difference did healthcare reform make with this, the governor's decision, the legislature's decision to pass Medicaid expansion? Not getting into the politics of it, but the practicalities of it, how big a difference did that make?
You know, a number of us over the last couple of years said, saw this as the perfect storm, and the perfect, wonderful storm occurring, that between the leadership that we had in the governor's office, healthcare reform, and the return, if you will, of the economy, we all saw that if there was going to be an opportunity to reach closure on this longstanding lawsuit, it had to be now. And so a number of wonderful forces came together.
So a great day for behavioral health in Arizona.
I think it's a good day for behavioral health. Okay. Again, I think we need to be mindful of the challenges that we continue to face and how we serve a very vulnerable segment of our population that cuts across all age spans. That if you go over and you look at child welfare, the number one issue that will be identified in child welfare is access to behavioral health assessment and behavioral health care. So we have continuing work to do, but again, I think for the advocates of the day, and I think for Ms. Ronan and for the rest of the team, it's a good day. And I know Ms. Ronan personally, and I know she's been involved with this for the long 25 years that this lawsuit's been in play.
Professor Michael Schaefer is director of the ASU Center for Applied Behavioral Health Policy.